Welcome back to the Soccer Specialist Podcast. So, a while back, there was a young soccer player who was told by a scout he wasn't big enough, he wasn't strong enough, and he would never play for his country. Now, thankfully for England, the player didn't listen to that scout, because that player was David Beckham. So, my point being, players, this is really, really important for you to understand. Please don't let others, and I know this is difficult. Look, this is difficult for adults. It's a lot more difficult for younger kids, for younger players. But you really, if at all possible, you have to do your best to not let others define who you are as a soccer player or otherwise. Don't let them define what your journey is going to be about as a player, because they don't know, as I just told you with David Beckham. And I just want to go through some other examples real quick that you know to kind of help you understand this point a lot is Jamie Vardy, who was a fantastic player for Leicester City, who had one of the great sports stories of all time with their EPL championship in 2015. Jamie Vardy was a non-league player at age 25 when Leicester City finally signed him. Okay, and we know what happened after that with the goals and the great seasons and the championship and all that. Harry Kane. Now, granted, this is when he was younger, but this kind of proves my point about how players develop differently and how others judge them, often incorrectly. Harry Kane was, I want to say 8, maybe 9 when he was cut from his club team. And we know what ended up happening with Harry Kane between Tottenham and going to Germany. And now here he wants to be a NFL place kicker. Interesting to see how that turns out. And then another example, the other way in America is Freddie Adu, who I believe, if I remember correctly, was 14 when he signed a professional contract. And he was at the great American soccer hope at the time, and it didn't work out so well for Freddie. Now, to be fair, in that case, I think because of sort of being the first American player getting that type of recognition at such a young age, I think a lot of the off-the-field stuff had a lot to do with Freddie not necessarily reaching his potential. But it was also, again, a good example of how everyone's player development journey is different is, compared to his peers, Freddie was that good at 14. The thing is, you never know what a player at 14 is going to be like at 18 or 22 or 30, setting aside all of the other stuff. You know, we have I didn't know I was going to use him. I can't think of his name right now. He's a young player for the Philadelphia Union Academy who's 14. They just signed a deal with Manchester City for him, which of course he can't do until he's 18. That's a whole like passport thing and everything. I believe if at 16 he wants to play in Europe outside of England, I think that's a possibility because I believe he has a passport to do that. But my point being is he's that good at 14, but we don't know. We do not know what he's going to be like at 16, 18, 25. Again, Michael Jordan, getting outside of soccer for a second, another great example, because that's a big story when you look at how great he ended up being, was cut from the varsity team his junior year in high school, sophomore, junior year in high school. He didn't even make varsity, right? And a few years later, he's leading North Carolina to a NCAA title and becoming the second pick. Yeah, only the second. I won't tell you who was first. You can go look that up. But the second pick in the NBA draft to become what many, many people say is the greatest player of all time. One more non-soccer example, Billy Beane. If any of you have ever seen Moneyball, that's the character Brad Pitt was playing. Billy Beane became a fantastic general manager. But what a lot of people don't know is that Billy Beane was a can't-miss baseball prospect. He was, I forget the things, but he was one of those very, very, very rare players that they call like a five. I believe, if I remember, I think it's arm, defense, speed, power, and hitting for average, right? Like this Billy Beane as a player was can't miss. But the reason nobody knows Billy Beane as a player is because he missed. Okay? He played, I think he played 6 seasons. In those 6 seasons, he didn't play as many games as one season, okay? He had only one of those 6 seasons did he even have more than 100 at bats. Did he play more? He never played even half a season. That was he played 80 games one season. The other 5 seasons combined, I think he played six. I'm gonna look real quick. I think I have it here. He played 68. Okay, he had 301 at bats in his entire career. Okay, which is like half to 60% of a season. He batted like 219. You know, had like two or three home runs. Like it was. And it's interesting when we look at other sports, we talk about draft busts and everything, basketball and football and things like that in America. Billy Beane may have been the biggest bust in professional sports with how highly he was touted as a player. And I'll give you another great, great example the other way, in the way that I think is really important to all of you. And that's Carly Lloyd. Okay. For those who don't remember, I've mentioned this in terms of getting a chance to hear her speak at a league meeting, a preseason league meeting after an Olympic year, because she had played in the league I was coaching in. I got a chance to talk to her. Anyway, she got cut from the USWNT's under 21 team, okay, which she said herself was a huge wake up call for her. She was debating whether to quit soccer altogether at that point. Now think about how that changes the landscape of, you know, American soccer over the past, you know, 20 years. You know, she had decided she was going to get a real job, move on, have a normal life. But she just, you know, as a lot of great athletes do, she had that voice in the back of her head that just said, you gotta try, you gotta know for sure. This is where she kind of got into that whole mindset shift, right? And she was going to work hard and dedicate herself and embrace challenges and things like that. She did, of course, finally make the U21 team. She had a big tournament back in 2005. She scored 3 goals in the tournament. One was in the championship. This is what got her to the senior team finally. She made her senior team debut later that year, I believe it was in the summer, I think July of 2005. But here's the thing. This is really important, especially when you take it with what I just said about some of the ages of some of the other players who were judged both positively and negatively, and then how it worked out. Carly Lloyd was 23 years old, 23 years old when she made her WNT debut, okay? She was no phenom. She scored one goal, one, in her first 24 senior team matches, okay? And here's the other thing. Now you can look at that and say, oh, she didn't even make the U21 team, but she did finally make the senior team at 23. So you can see how she was, it's almost funny to say late bloomer when she just obliterated teams in her youth career. But at the higher level, you would say she was a little bit of a late bloomer, because then you add in the fact that before she turned 30, she had a total of 36 international goals. After 30, she scored 98 international goals. I believe she played in 180. I think it was around 180. It might have been 181 matches after she turned 30. Okay. After she turned 30. So my point that I'm taking a long time to get to for all of you is that every player's journey is different. All players develop at a different rate. Some develop much faster than others. Some develop at a slower rate. Some, you know, you never know ultimately at the end which player is going to be better. A lot of times, players who don't get things right away, or it's not easy for them right away, but they learn to stick with it and grind and practice and all of those things. They become the even better player, right? So you got to understand that that player who might be smoking you on the pitch now, that maybe it's a teammate, they smoking you in practice, and they're playing the spot you want to play, whatever it is. you know, they might be sitting on the bench in a few years and they're watching you as a captain, you know, lead your team to a championship or lead the league in goals or whatever it is. I mean, I remember having one really gifted player, what you'd call a natural. Things came pretty easily. You know, one of those players where I say, hey, why don't you try this? And, you know, boom, and she gets it. And others say, hey, try this. And it's just over and over and over and over again. And they're still not getting it, right? So she was a phenomenal ball striker, technically skilled with the ball at her feet, just a natural athlete, but also technically as a soccer player. For some reason, we like to assume that when they're a great athlete, they're not necessarily a good soccer player, but that was not the case here. She was naturally gifted with the ball at her feet. Tons of upside. You know, and I had other players who didn't get new things easily. It took time. It took effort. It took lots of mistakes. They had to work. They had to grind. But eventually, they became better technical players than the gifted player. So it's really important for you to understand all that and remind yourself of that. Maybe it's listening to this again. Maybe it's just writing yourself a note that you can see every day somewhere. You write a little post-it note and stick it on the bathroom, but, you know, to understand that you can look to others for motivation. You can look to others for inspiration. I think that's great as terms of players. Like, hey, I want to play like that. I want to be like that player. But don't compare yourself to them because you are not them, but they are not you. You are you, and that's all that you need to be. And what matters is that you do what you need to do on your journey to become the best possible player you can become. And it doesn't matter if that means you're one of the best players at age 8 or 12 or 15. You just have to keep doing what you need to do. You're going to develop at the pace you develop. And just make sure you're doing what you need to do. And then you have to learn to live with the results. You have to be satisfied with the results. Maybe you don't reach the ultimate goals you want to reach, but if you've become the best player you can possibly become and you've done the things you need to do to get there, you have to be happy with that because that is all you can do. That is getting back to the whole controlling what you can control, okay? So please put in the effort, you know, do what you need to do to become a good player. Look to others as something that can inspire you, but understand that it's your journey. You're not anybody else. They're not you. You're gonna develop at the rate you develop at, okay? And I've said it like 3 or 4 different times now, but I really want to make sure that you understand that. Hopefully you enjoyed this. Hopefully you get something out of this. If you haven't checked it out, please go to thesoccerspecialist.com/supporters. Check out the Supporters Club for the podcast. You get some cool bonuses. You like the 30-day ball control program. It's less than 17 cents a day. So hopefully you take a minute and check that out. Really hope you enjoyed this episode and hopefully you really got something out of it. Again, write something down. You know, it's your journey. You know, don't compare yourself to others, whatever it is, on a post-it, stick it on a mirror and make sure it's something you see every day to remind you. And I will talk to you later.